all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Onward to the prize before us, soon his beauty will behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, we shall tread the streets of gold. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
Because thy Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you o'er evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Welcome to Sandusky First United Methodist Church. Our vision statement is love, care, share like Christ. And our denomination mission statement is go, make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our prayer concerns today, consider just the situation the world's in with the COVID-19. And because of that, worship in our sanctuary is suspended until further notice, but we are live on the air every Sunday morning at 11:05 on station 660 AM or 97.7 FM. Prayer concern goes out to Pastor Sue, who is home from the hospital as of Tuesday. Still very weak, still recovering. She appreciates all the support, cards, prayers that she's received from the congregation, but can't receive visitors at this time. An announcement for this morning. There's a food pantry tomorrow at Melvin at 10 a.m. for anybody in need of food. I'm Linda Schramm, worship leader for this morning, and bringing the morning message to us today will be Jim Platt, spouse of Pastor Sue. Birthdays for this week, will be Fred Darling on November 24th, Annette Stover, November 24th, and Joanna Solly, November 26th. We have no anniversaries for the rest of this month for our congregation. Yep. Okay, at this time we'll have the prelude with the lighting of the candles. Our praise songs for this morning are King of Kings, followed by Give Thanks.
with a grateful heart give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because He's given Jesus Christ, His Son.
Will you join me for the call to worship? I will extol you, my God and King,
forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
And God's greatness is unsearchable. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this building that is being used to share worship with those listening on the radio. We long for an end of this pandemic and a time we can gather as brothers and sisters and worship you with songs of praise. We know we are never alone, but we long for your body to be together in fellowship. We ask today that the Holy Spirit link this church through the radio, that those listening might be comforted, that they might be given insight, that they might feel closer to you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Our opening hymn,
go ahead,
is Come Thou Almighty King. This is the time for our children's moment. And I chose today to talk about Psalm 23. Psalm 23 is one of the most beloved scriptures in the Bible. And the scripture begins, verse 1, by saying, "The Lord is my shepherd." The 23rd Psalm compares God to being a shepherd, caring for his flock, and we are his sheep being taken care of. If I stand here in the church, I can look at the picture on the wall of Jesus surrounded by a flock of sheep. The psalm is only 6 verses long. And as a child, I was taught the verses before I was old enough to read. Later today, I encourage the children that are listening on the radio to get 6 blank sheets of paper, and on each sheet, draw a picture to remind you of each verse. I am terrible at remembering things, but I was taught to memorize the 6 verses of Psalm 23. The first picture to draw would be a shepherd watching over his sheep. Each verse says 2 or 3 things. The first verse of Psalm 23 is, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The second part of the verse means, "I shall have no wants," or, "The shepherd, my Lord, provides all I need." I will read the next 5 verses and invite you as children to draw on the papers what you see. "He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." Grass is the preferred food for sheep, and I love the smell of fresh mowed grass. And I like laying in green clover and searching for 4-leaf clovers. The second verse mentions the calm waters. Sheep are woolly animals, and they can't be around a water with a fast current, because if it gets into their wool, it can pull them under and they would drown. But the good shepherd leads me beside the calm waters. He restores my soul. This is verse 3. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Sometimes my heart feels heavy. Sometimes it feels small and hurt. But when I spend time with God, my heart feels light and full of joy. I would draw a heart-shaped balloon. And then I would draw a pathway leading to the cross of Jesus. Verse 4. "Yea, they all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." I would draw a big mountain and a dark valley. And I would draw a rod. A rod is a heavy walking cane, one that can be used as a weapon to beat off animals. And the staff is a shepherd's staff, a much lighter and longer walking cane with a hook on the end. And that hook is used to guide the animals or to pull them away from danger. Verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Christians are invited to a wedding feast with Christ. I would draw a banquet table full of food and a jar of oil. Oil was symbolized that something was dedicated to God. When kings were anointed, they poured oil on their head and dedicated them to God. I would draw a cup filled to the brim and overflowing. And the last verse, verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I would draw a house in the sky, a heavenly house of God. Many times throughout my life, I have used Psalm 23 as a means to prepare myself to talk to God. I've used it to calm myself, to quiet my mind, and to ask God to guide me and to be my shepherd. I hope that you have fun drawing the pictures to remind you of Psalm 23. And I hope you learn and memorize the wonderful psalm. At this time, you may pray with me. Dear God, thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us your Son, Jesus Christ. We are saved by Jesus, the Lamb of God. We are saved by Jesus, the Lamb of God. We are never alone. We are never alone. For Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is always with us. For Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is always with us. We love you, God. We love you, God. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading for this morning is Psalm 100. It's a psalm of thanks. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with celebration. Come before him in shouts of joy. Know that the Lord is God. He has made us. We belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of his own pasture. Enter his gates with thanks. Enter his courts with praise. Because the Lord is good. Thank him, bless him. His loyal love lasts forever. His faithfulness lasts generation for generation. May God add his blessing upon the reading of his word.
This week, we are praying for Jim's plumbing and heating. Each week, we pray for a different business within our community. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Christ the King, we bring our prayers to you for the hungry and the thirsty, for those aid agencies, both Christian and secular, who seek to relieve the suffering and implement preventive programs. We bring you our prayers for those who are outsiders and strangers, new people to our town, May they find the nurturing power of respect and acceptance. We bring our prayers to you for the homeless and ill-clad people of the world, street kids and the deprived children of drug, alcohol, and gambling addicts. May we find the most ennobling way to assist them to a better life. We bring our prayers to you for all who are sick and suffering, for the care being given at home or in the hospitals, or in the makeshift medical facilities, or in extremely poor countries. Help us to share surgical skills and medications across all countries and communities. We bring to you our prayers for those in prison. We think of the murderers and the embezzlers, the rapists and the drug pushers, the thieves and the con men. We also think of those mistakenly convicted. We pray too for the prison officers, social workers, and chaplains. Christ the King, without you we can do nothing. With you we can achieve much more than we can ever see or measure. So give us the love to thoughtfully and compassionately play our small part in relieving the suffering of the world. We pray all this to you as you taught us to pray as a community. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn is We Gather Together. The gospel reading today comes from Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. apologize. I had to clear my throat. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. And then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." The kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." Then he will say to those at his left hand, "You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." And then they will answer, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not take care of you?" And then he will answer them, "Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my mind be pleasing to you, my Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I am not a very frequent lay speaker for this church, but it was 1 year ago today, on this same Sunday, that I happened to be the lay speaker. At that time, Pastor Sue was recouping from hip surgery. This Sunday is Christ Reigns, or Christ the King Sunday. It is considered the end of the Christian calendar year, and next Sunday is the first Sunday of Advent. Last year on this Sunday, the lectionary was from Luke, and the focus of the message was on the final words of Christ as he hung on the cross. Those words begin with Jesus praying to God, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it included him speaking to the criminal next to him. I assure you that today you will be with me in paradise. Last year's message on Christ the King Sunday focused on our Lord and Savior as being the Lamb of God, a sacrifice for our sins that allows us eternal life. In this year's lectionary reading from Matthew, Jesus tells the parable of his second coming, the day of judgment, when the righteous will be separated from the unrighteous, like the shepherd separating the sheep from the goats. This Christ the King Sunday focuses on Jesus, our Lord and Savior, as being the Good Shepherd. Today's psalm reading, Psalm 100, is a psalm of praise and says, "Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Psalms 23, which was read during the children's time, says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The second part of the verse is, "I shall not want." "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." As a child, I memorized that line, but I didn't understand it. I understood the sentence to say, "I don't want the Lord being my shepherd." I kind of thought of it as a confession, saying, "I know the Lord is watching after me and providing for me, but I do not want to be His sheep. I want to do whatever I want." I was older when it was explained to me that "I do not want" could be better understood if it said, "I do not be in want," or if it said, "He provides for all my wants." I think the goat inside of me sometimes still says, "I do not want the Lord to be watching. I want to be a Christian, but sometimes I don't want to act like a Christian." I thought an example I might share is when I am driving down the road with my cruise control set just at the right speed to match the car in front of me. And I see a car on a side road wanting to pull into traffic. Because I like to travel at the prescribed distance of one car length for every 10 miles, I know the car can possibly squeeze into traffic in front of me. I think to myself, "Oh, my darling, don't pull out in front of me and make me step on my brakes and lose my cruise control." And then when the car pulls out in front of me and causes me to tap my brakes and slow down, the goat inside of me begins to show. And then when the car does not get up to speed with the preset cruise control, the goat within me no longer thinks of the car in front of me as, "Oh, my darling," but becomes judgmental and begins thinking of other names to call the car in front. I do not have road rage, which could lead to death. But I have a clear understanding of anger and unrighteousness. Perhaps you too struggle with being a sheep or a goat. My children grew up on a small farm. I am not a farmer, but my children enjoyed the country life. We had a small garden, and we also raised small animals. Sheep and goats are small animals, and though we did not raise sheep, I am able to tell you a few things about goats. There are a number of breeds of both sheep and goats, and it probably doesn't surprise you that there are sheep that appear more like goats, and that there are goats that appear more like sheep. One of my daughters raised an Angora goat, which looks like a sheep and has to be sheared every year. Angora goats produce mohair. Four of my children showed goats each year at the county fair, and through the years, we had a lot of different varieties of goats. My children won numerous milking championships, and they were accustomed to eating goat meat and drinking goat's milk. I thought I might list some of the differences between sheep and goat. Keep in mind that in the parable of separating the sheep from the goats compares the sheep as righteous and the goats as unrighteous. To begin with, goats are naturally curious and independent, while sheep tend to be more distant and aloof. I know the nursery rhyme says Mary had a little lamb that followed her to school, but I can tell you that a sheep has a stronger flocking instinct, wanting to stay with the other sheep, and becomes very agitated if they are separated from their flock. Baby goats are called kids. It would be more likely that Mary had a little kid that followed her to school. Goats love to check things out. We did have a goat get on the school bus one day. And if a door is left open, a goat wants to look inside. It is easier to keep sheep inside a fence. Goats love to climb and jump. I have seen goats up on the top of the barn roof. We had a Nubian breed goat named Nappy. Nubian are very long-eared goats, and their ears hang down, whereas most goats' ears stand up. Nappy could stand in a flat position directly in front of a 4-foot fence and hop over it. A male sheep is a ram, and a male goat is a buck. Ram horns are usually curved around the sheep's head, while a buck's horns are more straight. When aggressive, the ram will back up and charge with its head down, whereas a buck will stand its ground, rear up on its hind legs, and crash down with its head. Male goats, bucks, have a much stronger offensive odor than a ram. We always used other people's bucks to breed our does, because we didn't want the permanent stink of a male goat. Rams are not as offensive smelling as bucks. Sheep are grazers and will eat grass and clover down to the roots. But goats select a more nutritious diet as they browse, preferring to eat leaves, twigs, vines, and vegetation. Goats like to eat the tops of plants. Goats will stand on their hind legs to prune all the lower hanging leaves of a tree. Both male and female goats often have a beard, unlike sheep. Sheep tails point downward, while goat tails point skyward. Sheep have a philtrum. Philtrum is a new word for me, but I have one also. It is the space between your upper lip and the bottom of your nose, that groove. And like a human, that a sheep has a philtrum below their nose. It is a groove, but goats do not have that. All of this information about the difference between a goat and a sheep has nothing to do with Jesus' parable, except to say the shepherd would separate the sheep from the goats, and Jesus will separate the righteous from the unrighteous. I thought I would include one more story about my goats. One day, I came home from work, and I had walked back to the barn, and to my horror, I saw my neighbor's property, an area as large as a city house lot, stripped of its corn. The cornfield next to my property had corn about a foot and a half high, but there was this large area, maybe 3,000 square feet, that had been chewed down to about 3 inches. My neighbor was a dairy farmer named Jim Judge. The next morning, I went to my neighbor to tell him of the damage and assured him that I wanted to pay for the corn that should have been produced in that area. Jim Judge, he just smiled at me. It was a reassuring smile. I think it's a smile much like Jesus might smile. And he said, "Jim, it's a pretty poor farmer that can't afford to feed a few goats." He said, "Jim, don't worry about it." My job required me to travel frequently, but at least twice a week, Jim Judge would stop by our house just to say hello to my children and wife. I cannot count the times he would assist in some need, like plowing out the driveway or jumping a car with a dead battery. Jim Judge has gone to be with the Lord, but I can tell you, he was a saint. And he walked and he walks with our Lord. As I reflect on Scripture today, I think of Peter, who denied the Lord 3 times. And then after the resurrection, Jesus came to Peter and he said, "Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter replied, "You know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus said. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "and you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. Sheep and goats and shepherds are recurring stories in the Bible. From the very beginning, Adam and Eve were clothed in garments of skin. Their child Abel was a keeper of sheep. The Bible mentions shepherds and shepherding over 200 times. Shepherds led sheep to pastures and water and protected them from wild animals. I think of the blood of the lamb that was painted on the doors of the Israelites to protect them from the final plague. Sheep and goats were also used as sacrificial animals in worship. Leviticus 27:32 says, and concerning the tithe of the herd and the flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod will be holy to the Lord. And in 1 King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 20,000 sheep and goats in the dedicating of the temple of God. Last month, both Pastor Sue and I were sick with COVID-19. Pastor Sue spent 3 weeks in the hospital and I was quarantined at the parsonage. And during that time, food and medicine was left on the doorstep by members of this church. Every day, a member of this church would send me a text message to check on my wife and I. The church business and worship services continued in the absence of the pastor because of people who stepped in to fill the gap. Cards from parishioners were received daily. Prayers were lifted and answered. Sue and I received the love of Christ through the church. And then the King will say to those at his right hand, come you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you? And the King will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me. Least of these is a phrase where Jesus speaks of those in need. The least of these included Pastor Sue and I. The least of these refers to those in a variety of needy situations. They include the hungry, thirsty, impoverished, sick, the imprisoned. In this context, is speaking to those on his right, that is the righteous. The needy are called members of his family. The reference is to the righteous helping fellow disciples. Jesus said that those who cared for such individuals were not merely serving other people, they were serving him. In the same passage, the opposite is noted. The narrative concludes with Jesus condemning those who saw believers in need and yet did not help. He says, truly, I tell you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. and these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. As Christians, we know that salvation is by faith in Jesus Christ. It is by faith alone. We are not saved by our deeds. It is because we are redeemed that we are eager to do what is good. We are eager to serve the Lord. 2 weeks ago, I was blessed to hear the testimony of one of our parishioners who filled the pulpit in the absence of Pastor Sue. Carrie Gentry, a brother in Christ, a leader of our church, a teacher in our church, shared his struggle with the murderer of his granddaughter and the injustice of the murderer not being convicted. There is an eternal punishment for the unrighteous. Carrie concluded with saying, "Justice and the day of judgment is not his problem." He mentioned the bitter pill he had to swallow was that God's love, the murderer, that God loves the murderer as much as he loves you and me. We know that love. In the parable of separating the sheep from the goats, neither the righteous or the unrighteous recognized Jesus. When did we see you? Our task is not to separate the sheep and goats. Jesus will do that. We are to love God and love each other. Amen. Our closing hymn. Is together we serve. This week, I pray the face of Jesus is seen in the least of these. Go now in peace and serve the Lord.